This is News and Views with Rob Snow on News Talk 580 CFRA.
So it's been a week of pre-budget promises from the Wynn Liberals. $300 million for special education announced yesterday. That was the big goodie. Friday, Sick Kids Hospital, $2.4 billion. $1.8 billion for the new Civic here in Ottawa. $822 million for hospital overcrowding province-wide. $2.1 billion over 4 years for mental health care. $155 million over 4 years for long-term care. $105 million for one-stop care at CHEO. Probably something in the budget tomorrow about pharmacare for seniors, a half a billion dollars. Estimate is $577 million. And the big one today is a child care announcement. It's $2.2 billion with Premier Wynn saying it will make child care free for thousands of kids across the province. The caveat, it would begin in the year 2020, here is the premier.
Not being able to find or afford childcare is stressful, and it holds families back. It holds families back at a time when it's already hard enough to get there, to get ahead. There already are challenges in getting ahead. Today, we're announcing that tomorrow's budget includes our plan to make preschool childcare absolutely free for kids in Ontario from the age of 2.5 until they can start kindergarten beginning in September 2020. The reality is that in Ontario, the average cost of putting just one child into all-day licensed preschool childcare is $17,000. That's a lot of money for a family to come up with all of the other expenses that they have. Here in Toronto, it's even higher. So that's really daunting to think about. Fewer than 25% of families can actually afford licensed childcare for one child. So that means that there is a huge sacrifice just in that, but a sacrifice in even thinking about having a second child.
So that was the premier earlier today. Let's get some reaction right now. We're joined by Andrea Morozek, Program Director, Cartus Family, on this announcement from the premier today. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me on, Rob.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Free. That's the best price ever. What do you think of that price point?
Free for $2.2 billion. As I listened to the premier speaking and talking about how it's stressful not being able to find childcare, I was thinking about how Ontario parents, if this should happen to come to pass, will need to get ready for more stress, because one of the obvious outcomes of this sort of plan is that it will really tighten the market for childcare from 12 months up to 2.5 years. You know, we've seen it already. When we got full-day kindergarten, the market tightened for childcare. The government keeps creating problems that they then create solutions to, and on it goes. You know, older kids have always funded younger kids in daycare, and now we're going to see kids pulled out of daycares into this free system, and those daycares will subsequently close, and it will tighten the market and create a shortage, and then the government's going to have to come back and fix it. So get ready for that.
You predict a shortage of child care spaces.
Absolutely, and we see that in Quebec. The wait lists are still there. All the research, the peer-reviewed research and evidence about Quebec saying that it's a fiasco, to be frank, makes me wonder why nobody ever looks at that research. Peer-reviewed research suggesting wait lists still are there, that the outcomes are bad for children in Quebec, that they're bad for parents, higher levels of aggression, higher rates of illness. Parents have lower health, lower quality parental relationships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, this is just pure, I suppose, vote buying. But Ontario parents need to be ready for the negative outcomes, the poor quality care, because it's so expensive. And once you make it free, everybody is incentivized to jump into that sort of system.
So on that point, then, how would it reduce choice? What do you see happening there, then?
So I probably explained it poorly just 2 seconds ago, but you're basically within child care. You've always had older children subsidize the younger children because younger children are very expensive to care for. There's probably a reason why she's not offering to pay for child care from 12 months up to 2.5 years. That's extremely costly. The younger the children are, the more expensive the care. That is just the way it is in child care. So the second that you jump in and offer free care for the older children, you're pulling them out of the child care where they parents would be paying for their older child to go into the child care system, and those older children were subsidizing the younger children. Thus, daycare providers no longer have those older children subsidizing the younger children, and so we get the shortage. But we also get anything that's free. I don't much like Starbucks coffee, but when they offer me a free one, I'll take it. It just creates a soft coercion for parents to do that. Plus, the $2.2 billion, it's not free. Of course, we can say it's free as much as we like, but everybody knows that we are all paying for it. So it goes into our taxes, and once parents are paying in their taxes, it's a soft coercion to choose the type of care that is available if they possibly can.
Okay, so parse this language for me, because I'm sure it was deliberately chosen. Full day, licensed child care. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, there's plenty of neighborhood home care centers that are not licensed. Those are the ones that are going to be having a hard time surviving. Those are the ones that will be closing, I suspect. There's always this push for licensed care. They really want to close private care. They want to close private operators. There's an ideological bent to the government. They only want their form of care. Only the kind that they want will be subsidized. This is licensed care. And anybody else, so small local neighborhood providers, that's the kind of thing that might not have been licensed and will have a hard time surviving.
How do you say no to the savings, though? Her estimate, the premier's estimate, $17,000 per child.
You know what? A lot of parents will find that to be a savings, I suppose, in the short term. But they're immediately going to be tossed into the politics of it all in much the same way that they are engaged in that with their older children. So you mentioned special education funding was the announcement yesterday. I'm clearly against national daycare and provincial daycare schemes based on the research. But when I debate it, there's a lot I talk about how that this you know, free daycare pulls money out of our existing education system. And there's a lot of sympathy in every audience I talk to for that, because people in the public school system today know that if you have special needs, those special needs are not being met, full stop. So we all know that money doesn't grow on trees, and we can't pay for it all. So she tried to do a little injection into special education funding, but it's not going to be enough, especially with all these other funding announcements. Basically, I think parents need to think about what kind of quality are they going to be getting in this care, the free care, and it will immediately be involved in the kind of negotiations they're already involved in to try and get special education, to try and get good quality care in the public system right now.
So you see in Quebec, where the government has its own universal daycare program, you mentioned the long wait times, but an attractive price point. It's not free. There is a charge, $7.55 on the low side, up to a little more than $20 a day, and it goes on a sliding scale. In Toronto, I mean, it's very expensive. $1,500, not out of the question, for one child. A lot of people can't afford that. So what's the alternative, Andrea? What's the alternative?
Well, you have to realize here you also just gave a subsidy to the people who could very well afford it. And I just interviewed economist, Queen's economist Steve Lehrer about these types of systems. There is no such thing as a free lunch. And his concern was that high-income, high-education parents will jump into the system. They'll know how to navigate it. They'll be able to find the good quality care. Lower-income people, who I've always said deserve and need support and help for expensive child care, will in all likelihood be pushed out of the system. This is what we have seen via research in Quebec, by the way. This is not my opinion. This is what's happened in Quebec. And Dr. Lehrer's concern was that it might increase inequality. So there's all kinds of unintended consequences that come when you dump free child care and put it into the hands of those who don't need it. You know, the people who really did need it may not have the access.
See. Okay. What about, because this has been raised already, it's part of the government's talking points on this. Improved access to child care gives parents, especially women, more choice about when they return to work and will help close the gender wage gap. What do you think about that claim?
Well, I'm skeptical of the gender wage gap to begin with, but I've just mentioned the 12 months through to the 30 months. She's offering free childcare as of 2.5 years. Most women are on a one-year mat leave, maybe up to 18 months now with the changes at the federal level in parental leave, but there's still a gap there. So ultimately, she hasn't, God forbid that I should say this, she hasn't done enough if she really wants to see more women entering the workforce. There's still a gap of care there, and as I mentioned, shortages will abound there, so
right,
people
but do
will
the,
be stuck.
Do the wages earned and then the taxes paid by women who enter the workforce help offset the cost of a program like this?
Might help offset it, but will never pay for
never
the program.
For okay. Thank you, Andrea Morozek. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yep, that's Program Director Curtis Family, Andrea Morozek.